Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn, also homeschool father of six, both of us involved in Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Me for, I think it's been something like 19 years.
Wow.
I've been working as a director or an executive director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. The first homeschooling conference I spoke at was in 1986. Believe it or not, I was student body president of a West Coast university, Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and the word got around that, you know, somebody actually survived 12 years of homeschooling and was student body president of a major West Coast university. So they're inviting me out to some of the first homeschooling conferences in California at that time. And I'm sort of encouraging the troops, sample size of one, it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've been involved about 10 or 11 years. So you've got a few years
with
on
Czech?
Me. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about what's happening with home education and the great experience you had in Europe at the huge Heart of Europe World School Debate Tournament, in which homeschool teams from America participated in this gigantic world school debate tournament. Home education works, and we've been saying that for a long time.
Yes.
And I think typically the children are the brochures. We don't necessarily get a lot of high paid advertisement going for this. We don't have $1 trillion monopoly, taxpayer funded monopoly that's encouraging people to home education. But we do have the success stories. And of course, the national standardized tests have proven that homeschooling does a good job. Right now, the most recent report is that homeschoolers tend to average between the 85th and 90th percentile in math, reading, etc. So home education, head and shoulders above, 35 yes. to 40 percentile points above the 50 percentile mark. That's where everybody tends to hang out, is right around the 50 percentile mark. But the homeschool average is some 35 to 40 percentile points above the national average, which for some of you need to understand how this works is within about 10 percentage points of perfection. So,
yeah.
You know, the national average on yes. home education has been unbelievable. And in the results in terms of how our young people are growing up and exercising leadership and getting involved, homeschoolers 14 times more likely to be involved in political leadership. We're talking about 18 to 25 year old homeschool graduates tend to be 14 times more likely to be involved in leadership, political campaigns, et cetera, than their counterparts from public and private schools, according to a report done by Dr. Brian Ray called Homeschooling Grows Up. So 14 times more likely to be involved, 14 times more likely to be involved in political leadership. That's pretty impressive. You know, that's like if homeschoolers make up 3% of the population, they're going to be the majority of political movers and shakers within the next 20 years. Would that surprise you?
No, not anymore. Not after seeing the homeschools graduating, after being involved in speech and debate and coaching speech and debate for now 11 years, 10 or 11 years. And then after going to this international debate, I'm even more convinced.
Yeah. You just came back from Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Yes.
Tell us what happened. You took four teams of homeschool debaters to the Heart of Europe World School Debate Tournament, and they did well.
Yes, they did. This is not a Christian international debate tournament. This is very secular. The assumptions are atheism, feminism, abortion's great, LGBTQA+ is wonderful. There's global warming, all of that.
And the perspectives of the average people participating in these academic debate tournaments are going to be they're going to be secular. They're going to be atheist. They're going to be liberal. They're going to take LGBT as a given. Atheism is given. Global warming is a given. There's no argument. In other words, they have accepted it. This is the opinion of Europe, and these guys have swallowed these lies hook, line, and sinker.
Yes. And so each team has three people on it. So we have 12 students that are homeschool Christian students that have gone into this international debate. And American Logos took first, second, third, and I believe fifth.
Wow. Wow. So they dominated.
They dominated.
The American teams, the homeschool teams, dominated in the international competition. 36 teams, you said, from 14 nations.
Yes.
So this is a big deal.
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest deals. This is an international debate tournament in Europe in which America participated, and not just America participated, but these were four homeschooled teams, and they dominated. Friends, they dominated first, second, third, and fifth.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
Yeah, there were some that were close. The semifinals between Canada and the United States, actually, the way that this works is that there's a head judge and there are two or four wing judges. The head judge has the majority of the vote, but the head judge can be overruled by the wings if the wings want to overrule. And in the one round, the semifinals round between Canada and the United States, the head judge was overruled 4-1 for the United States. Okay. And so it was close in that sense, but we ended up two American teams in the final round, and they had the American teams had actually captured the hearts as well of a lot of these nations, because we weren't arrogant. We were personable. Mm-hmm. We socialized well.
these unsocialized homeschool geeks did fairly well. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that when we take this break. Friends, home education works. It's amazing what God is doing to use this movement for such a time as this. Be back in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
In a world of transgender bathrooms and Common Core classrooms, American Christians are facing unprecedented attacks on the biblical family. 2,000 years ago, the apostles faced similar hostility to the Christian faith. In Acts 2, Peter called those who had just crucified Jesus a few weeks before to repentance and faith in God's promise of salvation. His closing admonition to these men is just as relevant today as it was then. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. What resulted was the greatest outbreak of the gospel the world had ever seen. Join families from across the country for the 2017 NOAA Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio on August 11th and 12th, or in Ocean Shores, Washington on October 20th and 21st. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the 2017 NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, Buddy Davis, Emil Zwain, Israel Wayne, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, Cincinnati attendees will receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation just minutes away from the NOAA Conference. Ocean Shores attendees will enjoy a splendid oceanside family getaway on 6 miles of sandy beach on the magnificent Pacific Coast. Go to noaaconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noaaconference.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Homeschooled in the 1960s and 1970s. Been homeschooling our kids since the 1990s. Steve Vaughn in studio with me right now. Just back from Europe, in which his teams participated in the Heart of Europe World School Debate Tournament. Steve, you've been involved in speech and debate for a very long time, and your kids were there with you at the debate. Did they participate?
Yeah. Well, I just took Abigail, so it was just her and I.
Okay.
And she's turned 17, and after coming off of the national tournament, where her and her partner got third place in the United States National Debate Tournament for the Christian homeschoolers, she was one of those that was participating, but all of these were high-level debaters in STOA and a couple from the NCFCA as well that went. Mm-hmm. And so these were all top homeschool debaters.
Right. And we say NCFCA and STOA. These are the two major homeschool debate tournaments in America.
Yes.
And so they took the cream of the crop.
Yes.
And they took them out there to compete. And they did very well. Friends, they got the first, second, third, and fifth place in the International World School Debate Tournament. 36 teams from 14 nations represented. How did your daughter do?
Well, her team got third.
Okay, good.
And so she also got, I think, around sixth place speaker. award, and so almost all of people from every one of our teams got speaker awards, and so that was really good.
Right.
And but the
so
thing is,
you were talking to a 19-year-old from Bulgaria,
yes,
and apparently a judge.
Yeah.
But what was he telling you? He was concerned about homeschooling.
Yeah. Well, at first, you know, pretty much everybody when they were seeing our teams winning, they're going, "Well, what school are you guys from?"
Yeah.
And it was like, "Well, we're all homeschooled." And then that sort of stopped.
It's the mom and dad.
Yeah.
Academy of America.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so these kids are from California and Texas and one from Colorado, and I think one or two from Missouri. And they met one time to get everybody together. And then the rest of the time it was on Skype or.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And that was how
they
prepared.
Didn't really function as a team initially, but then they came together.
There. Yeah.
And they did very, very well.
Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, they were wondering about when we were talking about, you know, so he started asking about homeschooling. And, and then, of course, the main question came up, you know, is it first, you know, is it legal? And then how do they socialize? Mm-hmm. And I right at that time, my daughter's walking up and down the aisles talking to people from every country.
Yeah.
And people calling her to come and talk to them. And I said, well, that's my daughter. Does
she, exactly.
Does she look like she has problems with socialization?
Doesn't seem like she has an issue with socialization.
She's over socializing.
Yeah, exactly. She's over ODing on socialization right now.
Yeah, and people were coming up to me, some of the students from other countries, Spain especially, and they just loved her, and they were rooting for her. After they were knocked out of the tournament, they were following her around, and they're going, "Oh, she's just so wonderful." And they're all connected on Facebook now, and they all want to talk to her. And she was just, whenever I would get close to her, I didn't hear, the most I heard her speak was when I finally got to see her do a debate. She spoke maybe three sentences to me the entire time, and those three sentences were, "Dad, we get to see each other all the time back in the States.
So
go talk to other people."
This,
right. I'm talking to Spain. I'm talking to Hungary. I'm talking to Turkey, and you know, so it was just wonderful.
Why do you think the team did so well? Why did the American homeschool teams do so well to capture the first, second, third, and fifth in the international debate tournament of the world?
I think because we have more of a full spectrum of how to convince, how to persuade.
Okay.
And I ended up judging 9 out of the 12 debates. The first 9 I ended up judging. And one of the things that I saw was that they may have some, you know, credibility. They may have some ethos. They may have some logic going on, but our teams really excelled at the full orb of rhetoric, which is ethos, pathos, and logos.
So they threw some heart into it.
Yeah.
They actually had some commitment to what they were saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's one round, especially that my daughter was in, her and Jeffrey Pister and a guy named Daniel Sarna. They were going into this round, and this was what was called an impromptu round, where they get the topic an hour before they debate, and they don't get any internet. They only get an encyclopedia and maybe a World Almanac. And so this is all knowledge that they have. Well, there are three topics, and they chose the topic, and then the other team chose a side. Well, the topic that they chose was, "This House regrets that feminism has had a negative impact on traditional family values."
Okay.
And so they chose the topic. The other team was going, "Well, that's indefensible. We're going opposition."
Yeah.
And my daughter and Jeffrey Pister came up to me and said, "We're going to lose this round."
Uh-huh. And so you said, "Lose big."
Yeah. And they said, "We're going to lose." And they said, "But, they said, we didn't come here to win anyway." I mean, that wasn't the whole purpose of this trip. The purpose of the trip was to, you know, present Christianity in a positive light, to develop relationships with other nations. And they said, "The thing is, though, we get to talk about traditional family values. We get to talk about being against abortion. We get to talk about the feminazism that's going on, and we're going to lose, and we're going to lose big. But they have to stay in here and listen to us." And they were going to and they were going to do this winsomely. They weren't going to hammer it into anybody, but they were going to talk about what they really believed. And they said, "Hopefully this will lead to even more conversations." And it did. There was one of the other teams spent about 40-45 minutes with the teams from Hungary, ending up talking about what Christianity is really about. And they said they were so open, and they had questions, And they've developed this relationship. They're going to continue this relationship. And hopefully we can influence them not to win debates, but to end up winning hearts for Christ.
You get the sense that the Europeans, especially in the Eastern Bloc nations, are considering the bankruptcy of atheism, humanism, communism. We've talked about this before on the program.
Yeah.
But do you think it's happening in Eastern Europe? Is there a burnout?
Yes.
Of, you know, as far as what the atheism, humanism of the early 20th century has done in Eastern Europe, as well as Western Europe. Talk to Spain. Talk to these other nations. What do you think? Do you think the current generation is beginning to experience a backlash from all of the horrific ideas and the consequences that resulted from the destruction of Europe?
Yes, very much so. That was one of the things that was so exciting as I was there, was seeing that they're noticing the bankruptcy of it all. Seeing sort of the three generations that are there, I watched some of the older generation as they just sort of seem to be going through the motions. We went to some of the cathedrals and the large Catholic churches that were there, and the people that were just in there working it, just they had a single pace that they went, and it was slow, but it was slow and methodical, and they were just kind of going through the motions. And then you have the next generation down, and they were just in the bars. I think that they, you know, they're a result of their parents going through the whole communism and things like that. And the, you know, my generation and you know, the 30 somethings to the 50 somethings, they were just hanging out in the bars. Mm-hmm. But the people who were of the millennials, of what we would call millennials and then younger, they're looking for something they're looking for something different, and they're open. And that was one of the things that we saw, is that, you know, as I was, you know, teaching them a little bit about debate, and, you know, because they were coming to me, you know, why are your students doing so well? And it's like, okay, this is why. Mm-hmm. And talking to them, and their eyes were opening. And, you know, one of them, you know, the students got to rate their judges. And there was some of the students came and said that I was their favorite judge because of the feedback that I gave them. But they also realized that we all had a heart for them, and that our students had a heart for the other students and wanting to develop relationship. And they were flocking to our students to develop, you know, just some sort of relationship with them.
Briefly, give us a sense for your philosophy of speech and debate, Steve. You've been involved in this for a long time, and it seems like it's preparing young people to hopefully give an answer for the hope that is within them, but do it with meekness, with humility and fear, or the fear of God. But give us a sense for what your goals are for these young people.
Well, that's really what it is. Our team verse for Logos speech and debate. So it's interesting that we have American Logos, and then my club here in Colorado is Logos speech and debate. But that's really what it is that, you know, we need to be ready to give an answer, because things are going to collapse. You know, it's just inevitable, I think, that things, you know, economy, something's going to collapse, and people are going to want to know what the hope is. Yeah. And as our students, as our families are going around and still having hope, people are going to ask them, you know, why do you still have hope? Don't you see that everything is crumbling around us? How can you still have hope? And so, you know, that's one of the things. And then also, I also want to instill within them the reason why we have hope, which is Christ, but also the reason why we do what we do. And that is because God has called us to be salt and light to the world. Mm. And, you know, we're not to be the salt of the salt shaker. We're to be the light of the world, and salt and light in a world that is wounded and in darkness will start off hurting. Mm-hmm. Because you rub salt on an open wound, it's going to hurt. But sometimes salt is really what's needed. You walk out of darkness into light. Light's going to hurt your eyes, but that's what you need.
You know, it's interesting that home education is somewhat of a separatistic movement, and yet we constantly are moving more in the area of Puritanism. I always talk about the little bit of tension that exists between the Christian who somewhat isolates himself, you know, into the separatistic mode. But then again, we have an interest in being the salt and light and being accessible to the world such that we might be able to evangelize and further disciple the nations. So there's this tension that exists. I think, again, in a system in which faith, family, and freedom is breaking down and civilization are breaking down, You have the breakdown of the economy, you have the breakdown of the educational systems. I think the reason we're winning these tournaments, the reason why HSLDA is winning the mock court debates and has done so, I think, 3 in 5 years, is, and I'm talking about the Patrick Henry College
yes.
team against all of the other college teams in America. The reason why this very, very small group of homeschoolers is winning is because they're better prepared overall. And we're raising our kids on the islands of education, the islands of freedom, the islands where family and faith is still defended against the irrationalism and there is no God mentality that is taught in the public schools, which inevitably is going to erode knowledge. It's going to erode the systems. So as you break down faith, of course you're going to break down knowledge. Of course you're going to break down education. Of course you're going to see socioeconomic implosions, $150 trillion of debt, and a social system that just simply cannot survive. And so now we want to somewhat separate our kids into the kitchens and living rooms of this nation. We are doing that. Let's face it. You know, you've done that for the last 25 years of your life. We've been out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado preparing our kids to be influential and to do something, to be the salt, yeast, and light that God has called them to be. So it seems to me that we are kind of a both and. We're taking advantage of the islands of education. We're taking advantage of pulling our kids out of a system that's dying, that's corrupted, that's rotten to the core, and we're preparing them, hopefully, to make an impact out there. So that's the way I'm seeing this. I see home education as a value, but it's not just a value in of itself.
Right.
We want to prepare our kids to be disciples of nations.
Yeah, and this was I saw this as a huge test. I was hoping to see what I saw, but it was beyond what I even imagined our kids being able to do, because they were so humble, even in their winning. And that was one of the things I was really proud of our kids about.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
And there was a couple of...
You were humbly proud of your kids for being humbly humble.
I know. It was so hard.
Yeah.
But there was also, God provided a couple of little surprises as well. The tournament director, Simona, I was not expecting to be a judge, and because I just signed up as an observer, and they threw me in to judge, and so I didn't bring any nice clothes. I just had t-shirts,
but you had your nicest t-shirts.
Yes, they were very nice, and so I had most of my Logos t-shirts that had 1 Peter 3:15 on there, and I had a t-shirt that had Extreme Faith and Hebrews 11:1 on there, and that was the one I was wearing on the last day. And the tournament director came up, and she was, I was just saying, hey, you ran a great tournament and all of that. She looked at my shirt. And she, with her finger, underlined Hebrews 11:1, and she goes, Hebrews 11:1? And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And she almost got tears in her eyes, and she gave me a hug. Mm-hmm. And she said, bless you. God bless you. Mm-hmm. And and then she wanted to be friends on Facebook, and I saw a post of hers that right after the tournament, her and her husband went on their 38th wedding anniversary tour. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, 38 years. That's wonderful. God bless you. And she said, the glory is all God's. She wrote me back. The glory is all God's.
Wow.
It is his, it is because of him mm-hmm. that we have our love for each other. And then she quoted a psalm that says, if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will be the one that rewards us.
That's beautiful. Find the Daniels, the Josephs, the Esthers, just around, not as if there's a complete abandonment of faith. God still has his people. He has his men and his women in strategic locations, including the teams that went out and participated in this big tournament. Let me close with this. Why do you think home education is so effective? Bottom line, these young people prepared, they're engaging, they're winning the tournaments. They will be the future movers and shakers in Europe and America as political leaders to lead on and hopefully rebuild civilizations as these civilizations are crumbling.
Because their education is Christ-centered, parent-directed, free from government control.
Okay.
And we are not a cookie-cutter generation, at least the homeschoolers. That's a lot of it. We're not just the useful idiots that are being spewed out by the government schools, but it's individualized. So one of the things I was telling the Bulgarian guy is that you know, when somebody asks our students, well, what grade are you in? It's like, well, it depends on what subject you're talking about.
Exactly.
Because it's so everything is geared towards the individual. They're actually being not only educated, but discipled. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they do so well, because we can treat them individually, not as just a group of cookie cutter, you know, and going to the lowest common denominator. We're raising them up to the highest possible level they can go.
The status systems that will not teach the beginning of wisdom as the fear of God are making two mistakes. The first of which is that they're statist and they're standardizing and centralizing control and thereby destroying the concept of individuation and relationships. And friends, status systems will fail, as will systems that are based on any foundation but the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The postmoderns reduced to irrationalism and the dumbing down education system. Why? Because the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God, and they will tell you we don't fear God. They will tell you we have no beginning for wisdom and knowledge. Our foundation for wisdom and knowledge, nothing but sand. They will tell you that the beginning of knowledge for them is not the fear of God, and therefore, of course, the postmoderns reduced to irrationalism and the dumbing down of education as we have witnessed in Europe and America. All right, my friends, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, we just say praise God that he has salvaged something of the faith, family, freedom, and education by his grace. This is a blessing. This is a very, very thin minority, Steve. This is a thin minority that God has salvaged in the postmodern relativistic era in which we have seen the breakdown of the Christian faith. God is salvaging a remnant, but it's a remnant that is making a big impact on the world still. And so praise God for the movement. And I encourage you to my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, a book that I wrote some 14 years ago to encapsulate the worldview, the approach of home education, the home discipleship approach that ultimately are based upon the principles of God's word relating to education. So I encourage you to this book, which is The Philosophy of Home Education in America, the reason why home education works. I've synopsized it all in 10 secrets to the best education for your child. The book is called Upgrade. It's found at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Get your copy and get copies for your kids and your grandkids at generations.org. The book, again, is Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thursday, July 27th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. As millions of Christians have fled Syria and Iraq because of ISIS, there is one pastor who has stayed. Emily Fuentes of Open Doors told the Worldview about what happened when a Muslim extremist man visited the pastor's church.
Church event within the community with a few other pastors. They were passing out clothing and food items and all sorts of things that neighbors needed. And they saw a man who they could tell was a Muslim extremist with a beard, with no mustache. They talked to the other pastors and said, "We need to watch this guy. He could be trying to do us harm, but we also don't want to turn him away from hearing the gospel." So they invited him, gave him some food, and had him listen to the sermon while keeping a close eye on him. And he was the first to get up and give his life to Christ after hearing the invitation to know Christ.
Fuentes testified that stories like this remind us why God has preserved a remnant there in Syria. Australia's Queensland government is moving to ban references to Christianity and Jesus in schoolyards, according to The Australian. The unofficial policy targets even Christmas cards and bracelets intended to, quote, share the good news about Jesus, unquote. The Queensland Department of Education released a report earlier this year saying that schools are responsible, quote, to take appropriate action if aware that students participating in religious instruction are evangelizing to students who do not, unquote. But Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Last Saturday, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban spoke at the 28th Balvanio Summer Open University and Student Camp. In his speech, Orban spoke of Hungary and Eastern European nations as, quote, the future of Europe, unquote. Orban also noted that there is, quote, a clear link between the ideals of the Reformation and our political work, unquote, and that, quote, as long as we have a decision in the matter, Hungary will always be a Christian country, unquote. The Queen's former chaplain, Gavin Ashenden, is leading a group of conservative clergy threatening to break away from the Church of England if it does not embrace the, quote, authority of the Bible, unquote, on the issue of so-called homosexual marriage. In a letter published Tuesday, the group said, quote, a declaration of independence, unquote, from the Church of England may be in order. Quote, there are times, particularly in the face of social disintegration, when it is the duty of the Church to be countercultural, unquote. 2 Corinthians 6:17 declares, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. President Donald Trump announced yesterday on Twitter that individuals who wish to appear as the opposite of their God-given gender would be banned from the U.S. military. Trump cited advice from his generals and military experts, as well as the, quote, tremendous medical costs and disruption, unquote, involved with transgenders in the military. The U.S. Senate voted 55-45 yesterday against Senator Rand Paul's straight repeal amendment on the Obamacare program. The seven Republicans who voted against the repeal include Senators Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Shelley Capito of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine, Dean Heller of Nevada, John McCain of Arizona, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Rob Portman of Ohio. The law would have given legislators 2 years to replace the current health law. President Trump warned on Tuesday that senators who voted against repeal and replace are, quote, telling America that they are fine with the Obamacare nightmare, unquote. An Indiana Planned Parenthood murder mill was forced to stop doing abortions recently because the abortion doctor lost his admitting privileges with local hospitals. The Indiana Department of Health issued a letter last week to the Merrillville facility prohibiting all abortions without a physician who holds hospital admitting privileges. Christianity Today reports a small church near Atlanta, Georgia, has made a big impact through their ministry in the community. The 124 members of Hillside Presbyterian Church have given out 800,000 pounds of food to almost 145,000 people in the last 20 years. The church assists the community in many other practical ways when it comes to clothing, transportation, employment, housing, and even counseling. The Lord reminds us that when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Matthew 6:3. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Thursday, July 27th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.